Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes?
I'm good. Are you wet? Did you get wet outside, babes?
I'm very wet, yes. I've left the gym and, well, just wet isn't even the word. I haven't seen weather like this in a long, long time. I think because we've had such a crazy few weeks of like mental sun and heat, I kind of feel like I thought I lived in LA for a minute. I just assumed it was always going to be hot. So to have thunder and lightning and rain again, I'm like, what is this? So leaving the gym to the car and then the car to mine, completely wet through. Made the schoolboy error of leaving my garden furniture outside as well. Which obviously the table and the furniture's all right, but I left my cushions out.
Oh, Bob.
But I think they're weatherproof anyway. But hey-ho. How about you?
Yeah, fine. I'm actually quite relieved. I won't lie. I'm quite relieved to see a bit of rain. I'm absolutely sick of living in a boiling hot house with no air conditioning and only getting some brief relief when I come into the office. And then finding myself coming into this little room, like I have to record the show and see that someone's put the aircon on at 18 degrees. So it's like an ice box.
I could do with a bit of that right now.
Even though it's stormy, seems nice, but then I've got my cup of tea because I'm absolutely freezing and I don't think it will turn up in time. But yeah, other than that, all good. I've been busy. All good. What about you? What have you been doing?
Yeah, really good. Thank you, babe. Really good. Have you been out in the weather today? Obviously, you're in the office, aren't you? So I guess you haven't been wet through yet in the storms.
I had to pop down to Sainsbury's to buy my cauliflower for my dinner. So so I have been out in it, yeah.
What are you doing with your collar?
Well, you see, I'm trying to get back on the healthy eating bandwagon, right?
Okay.
So when I lost weight the last time, it's been a summer of excess. Let's put it that way. I've been going for it, you know. When I lost weight last time, I basically ate the same meal every day for dinner. And that was roasted cauliflower with a little portion of rice and then some kind of like veggie sausage. Or like veggie meat substitute. And then I put a bit of chili oil on it or some kind of sauce or something.
Just a bit of stomach.
Give it a taste of something, yeah.
Give it a little kick.
So I'm trying to get back on the healthy eating bandwagon because the scales aren't lying to me and it's not pretty. It's me. I don't care because I'm having a great summer and I don't want to I don't regret anything. Do you know what I mean? But I think almost like today's a bit like the summer's over. So, almost over. So we better start thinking about the coming months. But yeah, all's good, you know. I've got my cauliflower, I'm ready to go. What can I say?
Oh, lovely.
We've got an exciting show coming up today. Really exciting, actually. We've got Amber Gill, who's a former Love Islander, who's been on the show before. She's coming up first. Then we've got also a friend of the show, Joe McKeldry, winner of X Factor 2009. He's going on tour shortly, so he'll be on to talk about that. And then we've also got Dan Rhodes, magician and TikToker extraordinaire. He's got over 10 million followers on TikTok. I mean, that is just
crazy numbers.
Yeah, like I can't even comprehend. It'd be great to talk to him all about that. But it's been a busy week of showbiz news too. What's perked your interest, piqued your interest, Bob?
Well, I think obviously we've got to start with the sad news that we all heard today about Darius passing away. And it's mad because, you know, obviously as reading it and seeing it all in the press and stuff, to think that it was 20 years ago, like, where does time go? To me, like, 20 years, like, that's crazy. Like, when you remember how big that show was, and I mean, his season was Dee's season, wasn't it? I mean, we had Will, Gareth, third, like, and just so sad. It's always sad to start the show with a passing. It feels like last week was Olivia Newton-John, bless her.
Yeah.
This week, Darius. But what's your thoughts? Did you ever interview him?
No, I didn't actually. But I do have friends that work with him in theatre and stuff. And they always said he was super lovely, really professional guy. Never caused any trouble or anything like that. He was just really nice sort of... I've been reading some stuff, actually, which is quite interesting. It's about how he really successfully managed to completely rehabilitate his image, didn't he? So he first of all did, was it Pop Stars?
Pop Stars, he did.
And then did Pop Idol the year after. And on Pop Stars, he did that Britney Spears impression, which kind of went all around the world, didn't it, really? And him doing Hit Me Baby One More Time. And he was sort of had the slick back hair, and he was, that was 20 years ago, so he would have been in his early 20s at that point. And then managed to turn himself into, like, from a laughingstock into a really successful sort of theatre actor. And he appeared in all sorts, like Chicago and Funny Girl, alongside Sheridan Smith. So, you know, he's done some incredible work and has been really sort of recognised for that. And that's a really amazing story because of where there's so many people that fail at the first hurdle on those sort of reality shows. And he managed to really make something of himself. So, yeah, I mean, it's still a bit of a mystery as to what exactly happened, but to die at 41 is just terribly sad, isn't it? You know, he wasn't such known to be ill or anything. So
such a short life and such a way. So sad. And bearing in mind it was 20 years ago, it's hard to feel like, and I don't know if because he just seemed more growing up, but thinking he was 21 then, I always assumed he was older. Do you know what I mean?
Because he had a real self-confidence, didn't he? And
yeah.
I think like it was almost, you
like
see that now.
A presence and kind of owned it. And I say it takes character to, I think in the following year, Pop Idol come, didn't it? And to kind of go back, especially after the whole Britney thing, which also was a huge thing. But that takes some courage to come back and kind of, and bear in mind in that era of, kind of, well, I think it was the first reality TV music competition, wasn't it? So kind of the first to be seen in that light. And then as years have gone on, when it's been other shows, X Factor, whatever, you kind of often, most years, there's that one person that can kind of be seen as almost like a comedy act or whatever. Yeah. So it was kind of the first of his kind. But to come full circle and have such an amazing career and be in the theatre, he went on to have a number one, didn't he?
Yeah, Colourblind, yeah.
Oh, I forgot what a tune that was.
Such a tune, yeah. And it's actually, this morning, I'm not sure if it still is, but it was number one in the iTunes chart, which is a nice
touch.
Love
that.
Because obviously people sort of reminisce. I think the same happened to Olivia Newton-John. You know, people rush to listen to all their old music and sort of reminisce. But yeah, it was quite, I mean, when the news came out, I mean, I was getting texts from friends who I didn't think even would have known who Darius was, but it seems to have touched a lot of people, I guess, throughout his career. And I think that's a really nice, you know, and also he's clearly very talented because you wouldn't get cast in those giant big roles if you were not a good actor, you know what I mean? Like, and he wasn't going to get that on name recognition alone.
No. And 12 down 8 shows a week, it ain't no easy task doing
definitely
West End in theatre.
You are tired, you know what I mean? Like, it's like those are long hours, late hours, and then quite often the cast and things will go out afterwards and just a lot, you know, a busy, busy sort of schedule. So, yeah, I mean, it's a real shame and yours and mine, and I'm sure your thoughts go to all his friends and family.
Absolutely. What's caught your eye in showbiz news, babes?
Well, there's no getting around it. Eurovision is still carrying on. And last week they officially confirmed the cities that the UK cities that are in the running to host Eurovision 2023. So there's no southern cities. They're all sort of north of the Watford Gap. You've got Sheffield, Leeds, Manchester, Liverpool, Newcastle, Glasgow, I think that's all of them.
Why is it that South was ruled out? Is there a reason?
The BBC don't really have to give a reason. They just have to sort of, I mean, I'm not surprised because there's a lot of discussion about how the South is sort of preferred when with sort of big events, right? But the only requirement is that it's close to a big international airport and that there's hotel rooms and a venue sort of that's available. All of those cities sort of made the cut. So, looks like me and the other fans and all of the delegations and all the musicians and that will all be heading to the north. I'm hoping Glasgow.
Is that what your money's on, do you think?
I reckon my money's on Glasgow just because it's a bit of a party city, isn't it? And also for me, it'd be quite nice. I've been out in Glasgow once, but not like a night out, just like like just sort of dinner and stuff. So I
think it's a great night out. And there's some great venues there. Yeah. Over the years, I've been to, I've done a few jobs up there and been to a few award shows. And it's such a great city. Mm. I mean, it's such a short flight for us from here to there. And I think it would be a great place for the Eurovision. And like I say, maybe it is fair to actually not automatically let it go to London and let someone else have it. I've never really thought of it like that before, but I guess because we've got so many big things down here, from O2 to football grounds and all that kind of stuff, yeah, it's nice to share the love. And as long as there's a few travel lodges, I'm sure everyone's going to be happy. You'll be sat there booking your hotel room the date that it's announced.
The second the dates are confirmed, all we know is it's May 2023, I'll be the first in line to be booking those flights and booking my time off work, I guess.
When does it get announced?
The autumn. So we haven't got long to wait. It'll be, I imagine, sort of mid to late October.
Everyone's going to be sat there on booking.com waiting for this. I bet the hotel's set out like that.
Yeah, 100%. Or Airbnb, like desperate. Yes. Yeah, but I mean, that's quite exciting, I think. It should be big show, something to look forward to.
And did you say, even though it's being held here, does Ukraine, do they get to, is it their show? They're putting it on, they'll say what they want.
So the BBC are like the main sort of people behind it, but they're going to have, I think they described it as it's Ukraine's party. We're just hosting it, right? So it's going to have whatever it is. It'll have a big Ukrainian influence. It will have Ukrainian performers and stuff in addition to British ones and all of that. So I think it's going to be a really special one. Like, you know, usually it's an opportunity for the host country to sort of show off their own sort of culture, but this one should be slightly different, and it'll be a mixture of two cultures that are different but with similar, you know, sort of aspects. And I think it's going to be, for Ukrainian fans especially, and probably just for Ukrainians generally, even if they're not particularly big fans, quite an emotional moment to sort of see the solidarity and support that the country's getting, like in light of everything that's been going on over there, which is really, really, truly horrendous.
And has it come to us because we'd come second? Is that why it was offered to us?
Yeah. So they basically, it's not like written in the rules, but because the European Broadcasting Union, who's basically like run Eurovision, did some checks and decided that Ukraine isn't safe, they decided to offer it to the BBC, who accepted. That was the decision made. So,
and it's been a little while since we've had it, hasn't it? I'm sure you know exactly. When was it? Come on, Stephen.
1998 was the last time we hosted, after Love Shine a Light one, Katrina and the Waves.
Katrina. She Walking on Sunshine?
She did do Walking on Sunshine, but not for Eurovision, yeah. Those are their two big songs. I'll be here as Eurovision correspondent for as long as the process goes on.
I might even get myself a ticket this year.
Please, Bob, let's
take access to all areas on the road.
You don't have to ask me twice. Our first guest, gorgeous Amber Gill, is here. So let's get home for a chat.
Fab. Hello, babes. How are you?
All right. I'm good. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Thanks for joining us.
No, I'm excited. Thanks for having us.
What's all the balloons for? Has it been a party?
It was my birthday on the 4th of August, so last week, but it's...
They've lasted well.
Well, they're expensive. I was picking them up. Like, I didn't realise how expensive balloons were. I'm like, that's staying up until I can't physically stand anymore. Honestly.
Did you have a lovely birthday?
Yeah, I did. So I moved into a new apartment recently and nobody had seen it yet. So I just had like a couple of people around my house. And so it was really nice because normally I don't do anything, but one of my best friends like forced us to do something. And I was like, well, I'll do something in the house then. So it was good.
Are you not a huge birthday person? I'm not either.
Nah.
Me neither.
It's my birthday Monday. And I don't but I'm like, maybe a bit of dinner, but the thought of a party, it's just never my thing, believe it or not.
Yeah, no, it knocks me sick. Like, and people don't expect that from me because they're like, oh, you think you're the main character? And I'm like, but when it's my birthday, I'm like, no, I don't want anything.
Isn't it funny?
So you're a Leo? Are you a Leo?
Leo, yeah.
I think it's a Leo thing. I think you can either love it or hate it. I think there's no in between, because every Leo that I know either absolutely adores like throwing parties or they don't want nothing to do with it.
So funny. I love going to a party, but the thought of it being mine, no, and the whole walking around making sure everyone else is all right, yeah, I just, yeah, I'm like, nah, let's just go. No. Let's have a chicken bowl.
I had a bartender because I was like, I'm not giving everyone drinks and stuff, I'll forget, because I'm not a very good host. So I had a bartender then. I'm like, you can sort yourselves out, like, as long as everyone's having a good time.
Was it one that just wears the apron in the bath?
No. No, he was fully clothed.
How disappointing.
No. That would have been a bit far for me and me house. Like, not my life.
Congratulations on the book, by the way.
Thank you. I can't believe it.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, it feels really weird to like hold it. It's been like just over a month now since it like released, since it published. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like Mills and Boone approached me. Well, HarperCollins approached me initially because they were really interested in like diversifying the audience, the authors, the characters in the book, because they were very much aware that it was like all like predominantly middle-class white women.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really want that. And so it started off me hosting a competition where only people from underrepresented ethnic backgrounds could enter. And the prize was that they would have a year's editing, publishing deal with HarperCollins, which I just thought was amazing opportunity. And then I think as like my relationship grew with HarperCollins and Mills and Boone, they were like, you've got like a real interest in this. Like we can tell, like I was going to do English at university. I used to love reading romance. Like English is just my thing. Never ever wanted to write, because who on earth walks around thinking that like, oh, I could write a book? Like I never ever thought in a million years. Like I'm like, you're basically illiterate, how the hell are you gonna be able to write a book? Do you know what I mean? And so they were like, yeah, no, they were just like, well, think that you'd be like perfect. I think it would be like amazing for you to do, like just have a think about it. And I was like, ah, you're thrown us in a deep end here, but like I'll go for it, but I need like some sort of help. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll give you like a co-writer. So I had a couple of meetings with like different people, and I met this woman called Nadine, and she was just like the best ever. Like it was like having my hand held whilst I was doing everything, which was just like really affirming, because I think especially when you've got a platform as well, nothing you do can be bad. It can't be bad. It has to be tip-top perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can't be bad.
Otherwise, so you'll get torn apart sort of thing.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, if I had 3,000 followers, I could put anything out there and it would be fine. But the pressure is on. And so, yeah, Nadine was, like, the best. I'd send her a bit. She'd come back. She's 6-time published Mills and Boone, so she knows what she's doing. And then me and her just collaborated on making this really cute tropical escapism romance that's just lush to read. And it's got characters like me and like all my friends. And it's just really nice.
And I love it. Like someone our age is doing, do you know what I mean? Because I kind of think traditionally when people think of them books, it's always seen as like an older person's, if that's all right to say. Do you know what I mean? So I think someone writing from... Mm. Almost our perspective and our generation, it's just massive.
Yeah, and it's good for people to read, because obviously there's young readers as well. But like you said, I always thought writers would be like going watering their plants and then coming back and typing a book up and like married, lives in the countryside, like
nice,
not
big
me,
conservatory, like
yeah,
wandering in
not
and
like
out.
Me, like Nutter from Newcastle's writing romance novels. You know what I mean? So yeah, and that was part of like what I wanted to do. It was just like showing people that like, you know, anyone can do it, in that, you know, it's good to have representation in books, because I would have loved to read something similar to me. I mean, the only thing that I think is sort of hard was like, you know, you sort of Tracy Beakers and that kind of thing. But I used to like reading like Pride and Prejudice, but there was just a sort of disconnect. Mm-hmm. And it would have been nice to, although that's good for the purpose, it would have been nice to read something that sort of resonated with me a little bit more when I was younger. And so I'm glad to like be able to do that.
So where do you take your inspiration from? Is there like real life?
You have to call your friends and be like...
literally,
that's almost like a free reign, isn't it? To think of every man you've ever dated and horror stories. I mean, that in itself, sure, is an awful, you know what I mean? Let's be able to just change his name.
Yeah. This is the thing. It's so hot. That's the pressure, because there's no structure. You can choose whatever you want. Yeah. You can choose whatever character names you want. They can be whatever you want. It could be whatever you want. So you've just like got everything to think about. But I think for me, I took bits of inspiration from a lot of different things. So it's set in Tobago, And my dad's from Trinidad and Tobago. And I think that it sort of gets overlooked as a holiday destination and stuff. And I've been. And so I was like, I would love to write about that. And hopefully that makes people go, oh, actually, I want to go to Tobago. It sounds really nice. And so, yeah, I was just taking little bits of inspiration from wherever I could find my friends. Not really my experiences, because I wanted to be creative. I didn't want it to be like,
you don't want to do a reality like, do you know show.
Or everyone goes into Love Island and then, no, I don't want to write anything like that, no. And that's actually traumatic. My book is nice. Like, you know, I don't want to talk about what happened with me because that's not good.
And this almost you don't want to give someone the fact success of it, right? You know they'll be reading it anyway. You don't want to almost give them the pleasure of thinking, oh, that character's me.
Yeah, exactly. But the more that I speak to people that I've read it, they're like, oh, I think that's you. I think you've, you know, I could see the similarities. And I was like, oh, that's not what I was trying to do, but okay, we'll take it. I'm glad that people are thinking that deeply into it though. So I'm like, clearly you like it. If you're thinking that deeply into it and you're really reading it like that, then you must like it. And that's all I care about. So.
Well, speaking of Love Island, you were quite vocal this series, weren't you, about what you thought was going on. Never again.
Tell us a bit
what your thinking was behind it, because you were getting involved in some, well, not involved because they didn't know what you were saying, but like, you know, when there was fights going on in the house or the way that some of the girls were being treated and stuff, you were quite involved in it, right?
Well, every year since I came off the show, I've just like, I love the show now more so than before I went on it, because I kind of know what's going on. And I kind of feel like I'm an insider, like I know what's happening. And so I love watching it. I feel like a major super fan, and just I'm naturally on Twitter quite a lot anyway, so I just started off writing tweets. And then every year I get bullied into like talking about it, like, what, you can't wait for your tweets this year. I said, who said I was gonna do tweets this year? I'm not gonna do it.
First episode, get, you're like,
yeah, and then first episode comes and I'm like, da, 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 da. But then I get like, you know, partnerships from it, and I like doing it. I like reviewing things. I think that's something that I need to explore, because I like reviewing things. I like watching something and then having an opinion on it. I find like, I just love it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I got involved in some of the conversations, and not everybody likes it. But I think people need to get over it, because it's important to talk about some of the things that happen, or like real life issues as well. Like, and I think that girls, especially young girls that watch it, I didn't want any of them to think some of the stuff that was happening there's normal and like that's okay. Like, oh, they're just lover, that's why they're acting that way. And so I like to be vocal about that. As much as I am lighthearted, I just like to make sure that there's an underlying message in there that I'm saying, like, actually, no, that's not what we want from guys at all. Mm-hmm. But I get told off all the time for that, but it is what it is, isn't it?
And how was social media in response to that? Did you kind of find a little bit of backlash to having an opinion? So I kind of think we're in this weird state now that by being vocal about things and having an opinion, I think some people look to be offended. And whatever you write, it's coming from, it's your opinion and your thoughts. Everyone's entitled to that, but then people jump on it and then fire off death threats and craziness. You're like, what is going on?
It's just, it's gone like sort of the other way, where we're calling a lot of things hate and bullying. That's just not that. It's really not that. You know, when I watch Love Island, like, I appreciate every single person that goes on the show. I don't hate anyone that's on it. Like, I don't feel that strongly. All of my tweets are just about the show. As soon as it switches off, I don't think anything more about it. Mm. I'd never go and send them a message because I don't feel like that. And I think that, yeah, we've just got to a point now where you kind of churn out, because it's all like, oh, well, you're hating, bullying. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm allowed to have an opinion.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? But people always say to me, like, oh, but you preach be kind. I'm like, I didn't. I believe sometimes.
I don't believe in being kind, actually.
Sometimes I believe it, just a minute bit of bullying. It's just, you know, it's necessary, even for myself. Like, I get it. I've made mistakes and I've been dragged for it. And sometimes, you know, it has
keep
to
you
be
in
done.
Check.
Exactly. But there's a massive difference, isn't there, from sitting there watching a TV show, having an opinion, and then putting something on Twitter or on your Instagram stories, to then the other end of the scale where people are sending death threats. So there's a massive difference, isn't there?
Yeah, huge difference. And I think people sometimes like fail to see that. And I'm like, I would never. And I think as well, if I didn't like something, I wouldn't look at it. So I don't know why some people come to my page, don't look, because you know what I'm going to say. Like, you know, we're getting the gist of it. It's been 3 years now. You know what my kind of opinions are going to be. If you don't like it, don't look at it.
And when people say the word hate, hate is such a strong emotion that actually sometimes there's an indifference. You've got to care about something to hate it, if that makes sense. So people go, you hate it, like, in the nicest possible way, couldn't give a shit.
Yeah. No. That's what, like, I tweet and then, like, it goes out my brain and I think I actually don't care at all, you know?
Yeah, when you go to bed that night, you're like thinking about it.
Yeah, it's done. It's done. It was all lighthearted, like, yeah. And then as soon as the all come off the show, like, I'll follow the ones that I like and stuff and we won't talk about it again. We won't talk about it again and that's it. But yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what happened when you said, I don't know kind of necessarily what context means, but when you talked about switching teams.
I knew what you were going to say that.
Well, I mean, because of course that wasn't just an off-the-cuff comment. What do you mean? What did you mean by it when you said it?
It was an off-the-cuff comment, but it was true. But then everybody's twisted it and said that, like, now I can't stand men. And that's not actually true. Unfortunately, I wish I could, but I just can't. So I meant exactly what I said.
So is that like you coming out? I'm a bit confused. I mean, I don't want to force you into saying anything that you don't feel, but I mean, that's what it sounded like.
Accidentally, yeah. Accidentally. I remember looking at it and thinking, shit, like, what have I said? What have I said? And they were like, a lot of my friends were like, if you were going to do that anyway, that's the typical way that you would do that. Like, normally people have these lovely, beautiful stories, a lovely, beautiful, real Instagram post, like, just lush. I put switching teams on a tweet and that's how it came out. So, great.
Oh, iconic.
Yeah, that's like, it's typical me.
Have you got like a lady in your life?
I don't, not right now.
But you're looking for one.
No, never looking. I always think that you find the wrong people if you actively look, but I just left whatever come in. Do you know what I mean?
You're open to it, is what you're saying.
I'm open to it, yeah. Okay. I'm open to it.
How do you find dating, babes, now? Like, do you find it very different to pre-Love Island to go out and date someone and get to know them?
I do. I don't know why, but I find it really difficult and I can't, like, I really don't know, like, the reason behind it, but I just, I'm very picky now and, like, I'm very, like, fine-tuned into what I like and what I don't like, so I don't know if that's part of the reason. And then you just wonder, like, I always wonder, like, I wonder if they ever, like, wrote a horrible tweet about me, like, you know, like
scrolling through.
Yeah. And if they'd be like, oh, I watch Love Island, I'm like, I wonder if they like me or not, like, that's a good indicator, like, but I just, I'm very scared, I'm very wary, and I think that it's a bit of a struggle, but I don't know. How do you feel, Bobby? Because I don't know.
I know exactly what you mean. It's weird, isn't it? Because I think people would think it's the complete opposite. But I actually think it's harder to meet people when you are in our industry.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why that is. Maybe there's a bit of people know your life. So when you would normally sit over a table having your steak and chips or whatever you're having, and you're getting to know each other on an equal ground, like, you're asking questions as much as they are. But when people almost know after the answers to the questions, it kind of messes up the levels a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I you know what I hate? When people are like, no, I didn't watch Love Island, I didn't watch Love Island. And then you get into the conversation, they'll go, oh yeah, but what about that? And I'm like, well, didn't you just say that you didn't watch it?
Yeah,
that always sounds to me like someone that watched it.
You're like, with your notepad.
Yeah. Isn't that the worst? I go, yes, I've never ever watched it. Two gin and tonics later. So what do you really think about her? What's she like? And I'm thinking, but you've never watched it, boo. What are you talking about?
That's like one of my biggest icks. I can't with that. Because I'm like, if you watch it, then just say it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've never got someone, oh, no, never seen that. Never heard of it. Because it's just like, I just like to own whatever it is, you know? Then it makes it less weird. Because then I think, oh, you're a bit of a strange one, aren't you? Like,
why feel like the need for bullshit lies? Just be honest.
Already? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Already? That's not a good sign.
What's your list of icks? If you were sat on a date, have you got like three things that you're kind of like, I want to see this person again? Or there's three, like, you're not, no, that is warning signs.
If you're like in a restaurant or something, I can't stand people that are rude to like waiters or like people that are helping, anything like that. I can't stand it. Like, I'm like, oh, I hate, I would hate if someone is too much on Instagram, like wanting to take pictures of everything. This is for a guy though. I don't have that many icks when it comes to girls, but for guys, I'm way harsher actually. So yeah, that's
maybe that's great, an indication to how you're feeling in your head about.
You know
things,
what I mean? Like, this is what I think. I'm like, oh, maybe, yeah, maybe that's what that means. But whatever. If they're like snapping too much on social media, What else do I not like? I hate when people are really arrogant. Like, I think I can read people quite well. Like, I'm just really good at it. And if somebody's not being their authentic self, like, I pick up on it in like 5 seconds. And I hate that. That's like a massive ick. So I'm like, just be normal.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. What would be your ideal if he was to date a girl? Have you kind of, would you ever, I hate saying this to people that have been on Love Island because it's so cliche, like, I'm not going to say your type on paper, but generally, what would be your type? If you was to date a girl or you saw a nice lady out?
You know what? I'm going to say something really cliche too. I don't have a type.
That's Sorry. Nice though, isn't it? Going into completely.
If you look, if I put a lineup of everybody that I dated, there's no correlation with anything. There's no correlation. There's a little something and you either have it or you don't have it, and that's it. But everybody, like, looks completely different, personalities are completely different. Like, it just, it can be anyone.
I'm the same. Some of my friends, like, literally, if you had a room full of clones, you would know that was one of her exes, like, everything about them, almost the same tattoos, the same whatever. Whereas me, if they was lined up, you'd be like, can't work out what's going on. What?
There's no pattern.
That's what my friends say to me. They're like, what the hell are you? Like, what is it? I'm like, I don't know. It's just something.
It's the person, isn't it? It's the soul.
Yeah.
The energy.
It's definitely the soul and energy. I believe in that 100%. Because that lineup is wild.
Well, Amber, that is a perfect note to leave on. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thanks, guys.
This evening, and best of luck with the book. And thank you. So I hope it leads to many more.
Hopefully, we'll hope so.
Thanks, Amber.
Thank you so much, guys.
Cheers.
You're welcome, bye, darling.
I had so much fun. Bye.
Bye. What a lovely girl. She's always so such sweet. Good fun, isn't she? Like, not always a guarantee with those Love Islanders, but she's a good egg, I think.
Yeah, she is. She's definitely a good egg.
Really good. Well, let's get Joe McKeldry in. He's in the waiting room.
Perfect.
How are we?
Really good. Good.
Really
How
good
are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well.
Were you just pushing a little dog or something?
No, it was it's a laptop bag.
Have you been? What's been going down?
Yeah, good, thanks. I've just been busy doing festivals and gigs all summer and enjoying the sunshine like everybody else. How about you guys?
Pretty much the same. Been enjoying it well until today. What's the weather like now? Storms where you are?
No, it's boiling today, actually. It's come out really nice again. It was raining last night, but it's good again up here.
We're having it torrential down here, so but I think that's good. We need it. So
I have had my email from the water board saying hose pipe ban on Wednesday.
Oh, same. Same. Yeah, babe.
Hey ho. That's life. So, John, congrats on the tour. I wanted to ask you. I'm like literally the biggest George Michael fan. I wanted to marry him, actually. Never happened, obviously. I wanted to ask you, though, like, how important was he to you, obviously, to be doing a George Michael-inspired tour?
Well, I got... obviously, I got to sing with him on the show, but previous...
Yeah, such a moment.
My mum was a huge fan of him growing up, so I kind of grew up with all of his music anyways. So I knew all of his songs from being a kid. She always had his CDs playing in the house and things. And then, obviously, through her love of him, I kind of, when they said, you know, Joe, you're going to sing with George on the show, I was like, oh, my God, because I knew how much of a legend he was. Because I suppose I was only 18 at the time. And he hadn't released a lot of music in the years of me growing up. So I'd kind of grew up with all of his old material. But I knew through my mum how big of a deal it was. And I knew he was a legend. And I remember phoning her and she was like, I don't believe it. She was like, I don't believe that he'll come on the floor and sing with you. I was like, oh, thanks, mum. That's great. But to me, he's one of the biggest and best, you know, male vocalists of all time, and certainly to come from the UK. So I feel honoured that I'm getting to do this. I am nervous because I want to do it justice, obviously, and I wanted to do it properly and pay homage to his music properly. But it's really exciting, and obviously to be able to perform those kind of songs, which are just absolute, you know, every song is an incredible, either an up-tempo banger or the most beautiful ballads.
Yeah, he really did smash both, didn't he? I mean, there was like, he really never put a foot wrong. So you're kicking off in September, is that right?
Yeah, so we're doing the first night is kind of an up close and personal, like it's almost like a test show, really. We're doing it at Boisdale in Canary Wharf on September the 30th in London, and then we head out on the main bit of the tour. It opens in Harrogate on the 8th of October, and we go all the way through October, all over the UK. So, yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait. We start rehearsing in a few weeks. The set list's done. It's ready. And we're now, like, all the arrangements are being made as we speak before we start rehearsing. So it's super exciting.
And are you taking inspiration from, like, the iconic outfits from, like, the Wham days and George's day?
We've done, like, little nods to it. You know, I've had some meetings recently with what we're going to do. We've got the leather jackets are there, the denim jeans.
You can't not have a leather jacket, can you? Come on.
But I've put a little twist on the jackets, and we're doing some things like, I kind of want it to be, you know, obviously it's not a tribute show. It is me in concerts and stuff. So I kind of wanted it to be an element of what I would wear, with little nods to kind of his fashion throughout his career. So we've got kind of a mixture of both. And obviously the show's in two halves. So so there's definitely a few outfits to be explored.
She might be dressing up as a policeman. I mean,
the outside video. Now there's a look.
Amen.
I mean, do you think I could pull it off?
Absolutely. Yeah. Coming out with your truncheon, go as you can.
Oh, yes.
And you need some spangly urinals and things as well, don't you, if you're going to really go for the look? I mean, it was quite a look, yeah.
Yeah, and there was a conversation the other day of whether to wear sunglasses. I know, obviously, sunglasses were his trademark, and I was like... I mean, I wouldn't wear sunglasses on stage, but I was like, maybe the sunglasses need, like, just maybe, even if it's just a 1 minute moment for people to kind of get a photo on one of the reveals of the outfits, then maybe we'll do that. So we've already had a few sunglasses options of how that could be worked into the show. So it's, you know, we all gonna have a bit of fun with it as well.
Oh, amazing.
It's obviously been, since your time on X Factor 2009, a long time. You've obviously managed to keep a sustained career and do really well for yourself. And, like, how do you think you've managed to keep it up so well?
Do you know, it's a funny question, that, because I suppose it, obviously, like, the first thing that you would see is, like, hard work, you know, and that's kind of the first thing is that I love my job, therefore I kind of put a lot into it and I do work hard. But I think a lot of it's more than that. You know, we all know how the industry works. It's a bit of a luck. It's a bit of being in the right place at the right time. I'm also very blessed that I've got a brilliant audience that I've stuck by us through
really,
the year.
Yeah, it's quite, you can really see that. Like, and that doesn't happen often.
Yeah, and I really do attribute to kind of my success to that kind of being the main reason, is that I was blessed with a very, from the get-go, I was blessed with such a supportive fan base that really have stuck by us, you know. And you know, you can put things out, you can put albums out, you can put tours out, but if you don't have that core fan base that kind of keep it going through the kind of highs and lows that everybody goes through their career, then it is very difficult, you know. So I would say that's kind of the reason. I've been very, very lucky with it, with a wonderful supportive fan base, and I do kind of owe it to them, really, because, you know, yes, you can work hard, but there's so many more elements to it. And, you know, the music industry is a crazy place to work. It's fast changing, it's ruthless, it can be brutal at times. So I am lucky that I've got them.
So obviously, winning X Factor, how did you feel, like, to hear the rumours that it's coming back after, I think, 5 years of having a little bit of a break? Are you excited to see it back?
I mean, there's a lot of rumours circling at the moment. Obviously, I've been reading kind of all sorts of stuff from it returning to kind of expose documentary.
Oh, yeah, the documentary.
Things. It's... I love the show. It was a great platform for me. I hope if it does come back, I hope they do make some more changes to kind of make it a bit more of a safe space for artists in terms of the way the contracts are formed and the aftercare of the artists and things like that. Because I think, you know, back in the day, we're hearing more and more stories about how people kind of suffered on those shows, and not just X Factor, lots of other reality shows as well. You know, it's not just that one. So, and I do think there are changes being made, but I still think there's a long way to go. So I hope if it does come back, it's made in a safe place in the artists' interests that are going on to the show.
Do you feel that yours weren't necessarily always catered to during your time then?
I just think, you know, I think we've, you know, it's nearly
different 30, time. Yeah, different time, I guess.
Yeah, it's 13 years ago. Social media, to put it into context, you know, the year I did X Factor, they handed us mobile phones and said, oh, there's this new social media app come out called Twitter. So that sounds ridiculous to say now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That was literally, Instagram didn't exist then. No. TikTok certainly didn't exist. And I suppose with more and more social media platforms coming out, it does allow people to kind of have that ability to kind of, you know, portray their message on their own platforms and speak how they would. Whereas before, you would only kind of get that forum on a radio interview or a TV interview. It's kind of give people their own forums to speak, which is a great thing, you know, in terms of people kind of speaking their truth and seeing what had happened to them. So, it was just a massive show, you know, and there was so many kind of parts to it that the audience don't get to see. And that is a huge part of that is just the music industry and the entertainment industry. And I do hope, you know, I am noticing small changes. I think we've got a long way to go yet, but we're certainly on the right way to kind of having more conversations in terms of contracts being more favoured towards artists, and people are now calling out obviously streaming platforms to kind of pay artists fairly. So hopefully the more and more conversations that have it should all kind of across the board be better for those, the performers, the ones who are out there doing it, you know?
Like you say, some shows are better than others with a duty of care, some good, maybe some not so good. Do you think the way social media is now really makes it crucial that people do from these big shows have a duty of care, because it's everyone has a mobile phone now, don't they? So it's not even just hearing something in the media. The minute people turn their phone on and look at it, it's instant feedback, isn't it? A minute an episode goes out, thousands of people, millions of people can be in touch within like 3 minutes.
Yeah, and you can find out, you know, you can find out what everybody thinks of you literally in, you know, 30 seconds by typing your name in on an app, typing your name in on Google, typing your name in on Twitter.
Dangerous times.
What?
It could be dangerous times, Kobe. Yeah. Go down that rabbit hole.
You know, and some people can really cope with that, and some people can kind of, I've always found it quite, not easy, but I've kind of found it very much to have a black and white approach on it, in the sense of that I can't just shut off and just go, I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. I'd rather not know. But then I do know, you know, people really struggle not to want to know. And then, you know, like you say, you get sucked down that rabbit hole a bit, becomes addictive, finding out all of those comments. And you could have 50 incredible comments of people telling you you're the most wonderful person, talented person in the world. One person says something bad, and that's the one you hold on to. It's human nature. So it's I do think, you know, but I think the social media platforms need to be accountable for things like that as well. It's Absolutely. Not just the television companies. It's across the board of all sorts of things. There needs to be more, you know, kind of tougher measures on social media to stop people even being able to write things like that.
Yeah,
Completely. I couldn't agree more, babe.
We talked a little bit about the top of the show, actually, the sad news about Darius passing away. Did you know him? Did you ever come across him in your time?
I met him once or twice, actually, because we both did the same television show. He did the first series of Pop Star Opera Star.
Yes, of course.
And then I did the second series. And so I met him a few times, and I actually saw him in a few musicals that he did. Such a talent and such a lovely guy. It's so sad. Such a young age as well. It's tragic.
Yeah, I think so many of us were shocked to find out the news, weren't we?
Totally. It's such a loss, you know, and I was just looking actually today, like so many friends that obviously knew him a lot more than I did in the industry, having so many wonderful things to say about him and how much of a lovely person he was. So, I just thoughts go to his family. It's awful.
Yeah, it's been a proper endorsement of his character, isn't it? That we were saying how he managed to really completely transform what could have been the end of his career right at the beginning of it into something that was really successful. And he did incredibly well. So yeah, he'll be sadly missed.
Yeah, totally.
So your tour, end of September, and then when does the tour officially start?
So we start on the 8th of October and we go right the way through to I think we finish on the 30th of October. And then I go straight into Pantoland, straight into the world of Panto in Newcastle, back home, which will be lovely. So it's going to be a busy couple of months, but it's so nice to be kind of, you know, all through the summer, being back out, performing with audiences at festivals, prides, and seeing people all, you know, singing and dancing again. It's lovely.
Couldn't agree more. Joe, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. Always good to see you, and best of luck with it.
Thanks so much, guys.
Take care, Joe.
Bye. No worries, bye.
See you. Bye.
I mean, George Michael, that is going to be some gig, I can imagine.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And just the back catalogue of music that he's got, like, just incredible. Like I say,
was incredible.
The biggest fan of him. I still can't believe he ain't here anymore. Do you know?
I know, it's been a long time.
People that pass, and you're like, oh, yeah, what a waste.
Yeah, very sad. Our final guest, Dan Rhodes, magician extraordinaire, TikTok star, is here. So let's get him in.
Let's do it.
Hiya, how are you, mate?
Good, thank you. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, brother.
What you been up to? How you been?
Yeah, I've been good. I'm in a hotel. My friend Lawrence let us stay in this hotel room, and it's very, like, it's a very quirky looking hotel room.
Looks like you're in a disco or something.
Yeah, it looks very
Vegas vibes.
Yeah, it is. It's a Vegas sort of vibe.
It's really one of them rooms.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, loving the mood lighting. What you been up to, Dan?
Not much, really. Just been filming videos, doing all the usual stuff, and my book comes out tomorrow, which I'm excited about.
So exciting! Tell us about the book.
Yeah, so this is it. I've got one in person. It's called Dan the Magic, and basically the book's all about magic, really. I couldn't think of any two, you know, deep names. So, you know, just the magic, nice and easy. The book called The Magic. And it's pretty much just about, talks about how I got into magic, how magic kind of changed my life during lockdown, and, you know, when I started making content, really. And it's a lot of fun. It teaches people how they can learn magic as well. And it also teaches people how they can grow a following on social media. So there's a bit of everything in there, really.
Yeah, I mean, you really do have an incredibly large audience on TikTok. How many people is it?
It's 10.5 million on TikTok, and then 15 million on YouTube.
I mean, that's just insane numbers. Yeah, how did that sort of start for you? Because, I mean, that's the sort of numbers that people dream of, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. Basically, I started doing magic when I was 7. My uncle used to teach me card tricks, and I was inspired by Dynamo, and I was inspired by lots of, like, David Blaine, you know, the original. Mm-hmm. And I just kept doing it from then. And then my biggest goal was always to do a TV show, but I haven't done one yet, but hopefully one day. But I always wanted to, like, you know, reach a large audience doing magic. So at the start of lockdown, when everyone went onto TikTok, I started posting videos on TikTok, and a few of them started going viral. Mm-hmm. And then, during lockdown, I went from 200,000 followers to, like, 5 million. And then I just posted all that content to YouTube. And then, now I'm on 50 mil on that and 10 mil on TikTok. I just can't believe it. It's mental.
But as the numbers go up, do you feel there's more of a pressure down when it comes to social media?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes with me, it's just like with the videos. So I don't want to post a really rubbish video, but then again, sometimes I always feel like, no, I just can't post any old things like I used to, because I know it's going to be seen by a lot of people, because in the past it'd be like a gamble. So some of the videos get 10,000 views, some get a few million, you know, it'd be very hit and miss. Whereas now I've got a larger audience on YouTube, anything I post is going to be viewed. It might not necessarily go viral, but a large majority of people are going to see it. There is that pressure, I guess, from, like, trying to make the content good and trying to keep growing it, really.
And how old first? Sorry, Ben.
I was just going to say, how old are you, Dan?
19.
So 19 is quite a young age to have such a like heavy thing like going on. Like, that's a lot of people, a lot of expectation. Do you feel that? Do you get stressed out by it?
I wouldn't, like, say stressed out, because, like, I never really let the comments affect me, whether it's, like, a good comment or a bad comment. I just kind of see them. I think when people recognise me in person, that's when it's like, oh, they actually are real people, the realisation. Because even during lockdown, when the numbers were going up and I wasn't going out, I was like, this can't be real people.
Like, there's a mistake somewhere, it's a glitch.
I thought there's a glitch in the system, but then when you do meet them in person and comments, and, you know, it is crazy, really. And I'm just, like, so lucky to be able, like, it sounds cliche, but I've always wanted to do this, and the fact that I can now, I'm just, like, so, like, grateful that anyone watches my videos, really.
Do you have a favorite trick, like that will always be your favourite?
I'd say my favourite trick is one that I still don't know how to do because I never want to learn it because I've still got that like vision of magic. Like, but a magician got me up on a cruise ship when I was younger and he made a table like float in the air. Like he held onto like the cloth and like made it levitate. And a magician a couple of years back, he was like, do you want me to show you how that works? I've got one. Do you want to start doing it? I was like, no, that's the one trick where I don't want to know the secret because it's still like in my head. I'm like, that's magic and that's it. Like, when I was younger, so yeah, I keep that memory as just I don't know how he did that and I never want to know.
So as time's gone, like say, was it 7 you started doing magic?
7 years old.
So when you're kind of, I guess, you're people are showing you tricks and you're becoming amazed by them, the minute you figure out how to do them, do you kind of lose, are they not as special anymore? Because obviously you know the behind the scenes, what goes into it.
I think they're even equally like special. I think the reason I got into magic is because I've always been someone who wants to kind of know the inner workings of something. Because I feel like there's two kind of people. When you show a magic trick to someone, the majority of people just are amazed and that's it. You know, they're happy with it. Then you get other people who want to learn the secret. And I think that's cool because, like, for example, say if you get an engineer per se, you know, and his mindset is I want to see the ins and outs of something. Mm-hmm. I want to intricacies and the way things work, and I feel like for people who think like that, they want to learn the secret, and sometimes the secret's more impressive than the actual trick for some people because you're like, wow, you know, that's how that works. So that's why I teach magic in the book, and that's why I teach magic on my YouTube, because I think it's even though I'll guard some secrets that I won't teach anyone unless they go really far down the rabbit hole, but yeah, I think it's always cool to just show the odd few tricks for anyone that wants to get into it, really.
Absolutely.
I always think it's amazing how kids especially love magic. My grandpa, yeah. He's 85 now, and he was in the magic circle and all that, and he will still do tricks on my young nephews, and they're just completely, even just a 20p behind the ear, they're just like, what's happening? You know what I mean? It's like, it's amazing. It's a skill, isn't it? It's a true skill, and like to get people to be really good at it is not easy. So you've obviously really cornered a market.
Yeah, I just had too much time to myself. What can I say? When I was young, too much time in my bedroom, just shuffling patches. So,
yeah, I think as kids as well, I think you always remember the first trick that you ever see. Like you say, whether it's just a granddad show doing the 20p thing. Mine was my granddad. Do you remember the thumb thing? I still can't do that. And I would sit on his lap and go, do it again. And I literally thought he was pulling his thumb apart.
Yeah, yeah.
And to this day, I can remember being like just amazed by it, just seeing him do this thing with his thumb.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is a crazy thing. I remember first seeing that one. And the first time I ever saw the classic pulling the thumb off, I was like, what? Like that was, baffled me. It baffled my brain. But yeah, I remember seeing that for the first time as well and being like, that is crazy.
I mean, you're a little bit younger than me and Stephen, but I don't know if you've ever caught up with it. I'm sure there's videos of it on YouTube and online.
Yeah.
Was it called there was a TV show, The Magician's Secret, where I think he had to be masked because I don't think you're allowed to really spill the tea, are you?
Yeah, I watched the Masked Man spill the tea with magic. Oh, that is the best saying I've ever heard. I'm going to go, I can't spill the tea with my magic secret.
What do you think of magicians doing that? Like the fact, I guess it was all on the DL, wasn't he? He wouldn't say who he was, but do you agree with him going on there and showing the secrets of what people kind of keep hush-hush?
Yeah, I think it's really cool sometimes to, you know, show people, because I have a different thought from most magicians, but I think there's nothing wrong with that. Like, it shows another side of magic that it's not all mystery, because we've evolved now where we know that magic, there's a secret behind it. And I feel like it's up to someone whether they want to, and nothing beats seeing magic in person, but if someone sees magic on the TV and, you know, it's showing the secret, or you see another video and nothing wrong with that, because I think it forces magicians to be more creative and come up with new tricks.
Yeah, true, actually.
But yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, if a trick first came out and it was, you know, taught straight away, then. But even then, it's like, you know, I feel like there's two different sides to it. Like, you could have some people who want to listen to someone playing the guitar and just enjoys that. Or, you know, someone might watch a video on how to play the guitar and might find that interesting. Or, you know, it works like that. So, yeah, you get a lot of magicians who don't really agree with it, but I think it's fine.
But I think it shows what an amazing talent as magician. It's not just trick of the hand and pulling out a card. And like a lot goes into it. So by showing it, I actually think it shows what an art. So I think it is an art, magic. Like not anyone can just stand on a stage and do that. Would you do the whole, the famous getting buried alive?
The buried alive. Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe someday. The thing is, like,
not today.
Yeah, not today. Behind me, I was going to pull it out and get buried alive. Yeah, take it to the next level. Now, I think I'd love to do some big illusions someday, but maybe I'll stay away from the buried alive one because I'm too claustrophobic. I mean, I might have
understandable.
Do you know all the secrets to them ones? So, you know, like the big old school famous tricks like the buried alive and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you weren't claustrophobic, would you know how to do it? Is there a, well, I'm guessing there is a trick to it.
I'm not actually sure how like that. I'm not sure how that many illusions work because I haven't really like dabbled in any of that. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but.
People have died doing those things, haven't they? I mean, they are serious. You can actually die by those illusions. It's different to shuffling your cards, like you said.
I just want to do card tricks, enjoy my life, you know, not risk my life. You know.
Just keep pulling your thumb apart. That's what you
That's as dangerous as it gets. That's as dangerous as it gets. But I'll leave that to David Blaine. He can be.
So the book's out tomorrow. What can people expect from it?
You can expect it always sounds like it's like a sales pitch when I'm trying to like tell you like
that's what we want, that's all good.
Well honestly what you can expect from it is like a lot of fun. Like I think I really kind of tried to break down like some of my funniest stories with magic and how magic has like helped me get away with things that I shouldn't have done, how I've used magic to like just a bunch of stories of how magic has literally changed my life and through doing that, performing magic everywhere I've been, what opportunities it gave me. And there's something for everyone in there, you know, it's for all ages, but especially as well, younger people who want to get into magic, there's tricks in there. I made the tricks really simple, but super powerful. And it hasn't been done in a magic book before, but I also teach tricks in there that work specifically for social media that will get them lots of like views and stuff. And that, you know, you ask a youngster what they want to do when they're older, and a lot of them say they want to be a social media person. And in here I do teach how they can do that, and I literally give them some tricks that they can do online that can get views and hopefully millions of followers at some point. But yeah, no, it's just a bit of everything there. I had to do tricks on friends and family, and yeah, I just think it, honestly, I think it is, without sounding biased, a really fun read, and there's a lot in there for everyone.
Brilliant Christmas present as well, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, let's get it right. Dan, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it, and best of luck. Enjoy your hotel room as well.
You too. Have a great day.
Thanks, Dan. Take care. Bye, mate.
Cheers.
Bye, Bobby.
Bye. How impressive.
Fella.
Yeah, just 19 and like impressing all those people with a book out. But I can't even come up with an idea now, and I'm 36. You know what I mean? Like, I'm impressed.
And to have that following at 9 a.m. just think. We was running around jumping jacks with like aftershocks.
Snake bites.
Yeah. VK apples.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Oh, yeah. I'll have a couple of them, please.
Do they exist anymore? Do you remember
VK? That's a really good point. Or a reef. Do you get reefs anymore?
A reef.
Nice orange reef. Orange and mango reef. Yeah.
That when Alco Pots first become a thing. Yeah, right.
Oh, it'd be so sick though, because you drink 6 or 7 and it's like drinking 6 or 7 pure orange juices. You know, that's not good for you.
Like Smirnoff, you don't really see them anymore, do you?
No. Apparently, I once remember reading that Colleen Rooney, when she goes on holiday, has to have a Smirnoff Ice like shipped to her hotel room because it's all she drinks.
Oh, is that?
Don't know if it's true. Just remember reading it once.
Love that. Go on, Colleen.
Get
them Smirnoff Ices in, girl.
What an absolutely lovely show. Nice to have three very chatty guests on. What you got coming up this week, Bob? It's your birthday.
It's my birthday. So I'm going to have some dinner at the weekend with some friends. It's going to be lovely. And then next week, yeah, I'm not really a party guy, but next week, yeah, just family, friends.
Gorge.
Dinner's nice bit of lunch. How about you?
I am going to a very small little wedding this weekend. Just a tiny little thing, which will be lovely on Saturday. And then Sunday, a rare day when I've got no plans, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Will it be another day after the wedding?
I don't think it's going to be that vibe. I know that sounds a bit weird, but you know, and it's just like the couple just want to, I think they just want to get married, have a few friends in the pub and then go.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I don't think they it's all kind of last minute sort of thing. So yeah, I don't think it's going to be, it's not like a big reception or anything like that. So yeah, so that's going to be me at my weekend, and I'll probably love that. I mean, just nice to have no plans, isn't it?
Like, yeah, very much so. Very nice.
Well, happy birthday, Bob, for Monday. And,
thank you, Bobes.
Well, I'll find out next week what exciting presents you got from people.
I'll tell you what 21 feels like.
Please, spare me. Until next week, everyone, goodbye.
Bye, guys.